B62. Fundamental Questions on the Science of Christian Science, Part 2. Advancing Spiritual Consciousness. Number 1A.
We started actually with one little question, and then it took us 2 hours to answer it, which was that we first have to find our right standpoint from which we deduce, namely the standpoint of today. That is the standpoint within the category of the thousand-year periods. So we put that question within a category and see that it has to be explained or can be better understood in relation to the whole category of the thousand-year period. Because then we can see what is the difference of today compared with what was the necessary standpoint of yesterday and the day before, so to say. That is, that if the category of the thousand-year periods are right and work, then the 6,000 and 7,000-year period must be different from each other. The 6 must be different from the 7th. And therefore, those that have gone before, like the 5th and the 4th, must have been different, which means that at that time, say in the 4,000-year period, the standpoint of the 4,000-year period was the right standpoint. So that we can't say in the 4,000-year period the standpoint was not good enough. You should have taken the one of the 7th, because consciousness has not grown to that point. So we can see that each age has its climax, so to say. What one calls the maximum of good is always that best of a situation, but it's not the optimum. The optimum then is the 7th. Therefore, we must not ask that the earlier ages should have seen what we see today. They had to see what was adapted to their age. But on the other side, we must be careful that if we are in the 6,000 or 7,000-year period, that we are not taking the standpoint, say, of the 4,000 or 5,000-year period as the maximum. Is that clear? By golly, it must be clear. You got it, Now, what we do in everyday practice is the very opposite. That's where we fail. See, we are living in our age, but we read the Bible in the way as if the Bible would give us the 7,000-year period. And it doesn't. And because it doesn't, we think that what the Bible gives is the optimum. And therefore, we are living always behind the times. And therefore, we try to solve our problems of today with the maximum of yesterday. And because it was the maximum of yesterday, we think it's the optimum, but it isn't. That clear? No? Yes. Good. All right. Now, let's discuss what these thousand-year periods mean in the way that it is indicative of the form of consciousness. Perhaps you take the study aid on page 28. It's practical to have that study aid, isn't it? On page 28, we have the thousand-year periods and have them in a way as we mostly know it already, so we don't have to discuss that. Everybody is more or less acquainted, say, with the column on the left-hand side with the title thousand-year period and what happened then in that period down. Can you see? I think with starting with Adam to Enoch, I think this is well known. We don't have to discuss that. I think you agree with that, or at least you should agree and should know that. The next column is the spiritual meaning of it. That too we have discussed since years and years. John Dorley has already spoken about it. We have it in our books. Becky Brooks speaks a lot about it. So that other column should also be familiar to us. Really, the one that concerns us today, today on Monday, we have Monday, what we are discussing today, is the column on the right-hand side, which has the title, symbol, and reality. Meaning what? We have been discussing that over the last about 3 years already. Yeah, since Genesis, I have taken that subject, and in Apocalypse again. It is that most important point which says, now, we always have to deal with reality. No matter at which point in the thousand-year periods where we are, we have reality, God's own spiritual reality, but that reality must somehow be symbolized so that it can be understood. You know? Spiritual teaching must always be through symbols. Now, the point is that the symbols must adapt themselves to the development of spiritual consciousness. We cannot expect that a primitive culture can think the way we think today. It doesn't have the instruments to do that, the mental, the intellectual abilities to do that. Therefore, we can see through the history of spiritual development, through civilization, actually, what the Bible symbolizes since year, say, 4000 BC, we can see that reality, which is always the same reality, was symbolized differently according to the thousand-year periods, because consciousness was first primitive and could only somehow grasp something of reality seen through a glass darkly, what reality is, and with every advancing step, something of that darkness of the glass has been taken away. The window pane through which reality is shining through has been cleaned a little bit each step, and then every time some more light was coming through to human understanding, so that people, mortals in the universe, could in an advancing stage understand reality much more closer to what reality is. Therefore, symbols are always used to an approximation to reality. Until finally, as we rise, the symbols disappear, and this is the aim of every spiritual education, that we can refine the symbols by which reality is symbolized and made understandable to human understanding, until finally that rarefication, that purification of our understanding comes to that point where it is so transparent that it needs no more a symbolization, so that reality is shown as reality. Now, these are stages that we can see in the development of the thousand-year periods. I think this is the proposition that we have been discussing over the last few years. Is that clear? All right. So now we can ask ourselves, how did the symbolization rarify itself? Can you say rarify? Yes, I think so. Huh? Or purify itself step by step, so that the symbols get so closer and closer to the spiritual reality, which needs no symbol. So we have taken the first 3,000 just quickly and said, well, in the first 1,000-year period, usually all that was possible for people to understand something about reality were through a myth story. A myth somehow tries to represent in symbols and stories what reality is. In the second 1,000-year, we had already a bit more refined symbol, namely legends and sagas, which already say something more specific than just myths. They take already somehow a historical happening or a natural happening and put it into a legend or a saga in order to specify the mythical sense a bit more. And then in the 3,000-year period, it was becoming very clear that it showed even more specific than myths and sagas, really half-hidden history, as Mrs. Eddy calls it, half-hidden Jewish history, history that was represented and how would you say in English, they changed the history so that it would fit a teaching. They wouldn't record exact history, but they recorded history that was known and adapted it so that it could somehow illustrate a spiritual idea. And that is typical for the 3,000-year period, which comprises really the historical part of Israel, namely Abraham, the father of Israel, and then all the generations right through to the promised land. And it was all generations, tribal history, and you can illustrate naturally with a tribal history, which you know, which everybody knew, which was taught on the fire at night, and the grandpa would tell the little grandson how it was years ago, when so-and-so, when grandfather Abraham went out of Ur and so-and-so, and he was telling story, which we can catch, which are very illustrative, and therefore would reflect, so to say, a spiritual concept in human history. But then, and now this, we come to the fourth, and now I think we can consider it a bit more closer than the first 3,000, which are in half darkness. Came the 4,000-year period.